As you can see, we have a prop today, and Tim Penner and myself were busy at it. It's not very professional. Sorry to all you farmers. And well, we were missing a few other things around here. I think Tim deserves a thank him after, because he suffered for Christ. He got cut doing this thing here. It's not going to be a message of Remembrance Day, but I want to remember a few things of my past. And I got quite a few members of my family here. My brother Dave's here from Alberta. Of course, Evelyn and Jeanette are here. And we are together, have been raised on a dairy farm. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the dairy farm that we were raised on, and maybe it'll bring back a few memories for some of you who were raised on farms of any type, because you've seen this type of equipment on the farmland. And I just remember several things that this fence brings back memories for. And some of the things are how us as a dairy farm, the fence was important in our life. Without a fence, where did the cows go? To the neighbors or on the road, they're going to get hit and all these things. Fence was very important. Here we have quite the fence. Four strand and the electric. Don't touch it. I really wanted to put a fencer up there blinking, but we couldn't find one on time. And this is dangerous enough, right? There are kids around here. But the fence was important because it held the boundary of our farmland and held our cattle in there, and they weren't able to get out and head to the neighbors or on the roads, especially to get hit, which happened once at our place. And what a mess that makes. But the fence was just the boundary. It was safe. It was inside of that. It was a containment. It was not a bad thing. It was a good thing for us. And every farmer had their fences, right? Their boundaries were created. And we worked side by side on the four sides of this. We had four neighbors, simple as that. All with land, all with farms, all with cattle. Imagine the mix-up it would have been if there would have been no. Who would have milked all those cows? And it's your time, your turn tonight. No. So we all had our jobs. We all had our thing. But, this fence, and I remember in the morning, we would go out in just the mist of the morning, just a little bit of a fog going on there. And we would holler out to the cows, Lovash, Lovash, something like that for you. Sort of remember. And I remember my wife mentioning, and every farmer seemed to have this call. And the cows would hear it from the fields and would head towards the gate and towards the milking area to be fed and to be milked. It was wonderful. You remember that? My wife often tells me, she was from Calgary, and when she'd come visit to her uncle Romeo Gauthier down 2.5 miles down here, that he would say, "Hey, cowsy, cowsy. Say it louder. There you go." But that's what you remember. And they would come. They'd listen to the farmer calling, and they would come. It was wonderful. What a wonderful time to be raised on a farm. And for you who haven't been, well, sorry about that. But it is wonderful to be raised on a farm. And but a lot of work involved. And it was wonderful to that we had security. We had containment. We had boundaries. Boundaries are good. They're not bad. They're good. They're good for us. So I want to talk a little bit more about our cows. I want to talk about our cows a little bit. We had wonderful cows, Holsteins. They had this fence system, but, there were some bad cows in our midst. Some were bad cows. They would somehow always try to go through to the other side, to the neighbors or onto the road. Remember those cows? And usually they were young ones, not totally the old ones, because by then they were slaughtered. Because a bad cow who always tried to escape, who always ran the fence line trying to find the spot, doesn't matter if it's electric or what, somehow got through. They would squeeze and push, tear, and somehow get through. And if they got through, wow, imagine the udder, what that looks like. This is pretty tough on an udder. Right, Tim? For his fingers. And he and these cows were just like trouble. They would constantly be running this fence line, always looking. And the problem was they would drag others. Others would see that opening and they would stretch this thing out, and somehow others would make it through. And they were bad cows. They needed to go to slaughter. And that was the punishment. That was the repeat offenders were punished. They were sent to Canada Packers. Simple as that. St. Boniface. Yeah, we would haul their butts in there and off you go. You're going to Canada Packers. And that would calm things down for a while till the next young cow come through and doing the same thing. There was always some bad cows. It was so weird. The creatures of bad habits. Some cows would just like, that's all they would do is walk up and down the fence line while the rest of the cows were all grazing in a wonderful 80 acres out there, or there, you know. And they were just, the cows would just eat what was around this edge and always seemed to be walking the fence line. Four corners. Crazy. Bad habits. It's awful. They're always stretching their necks through there, you know, for the grass that's there. I won't try it. I got something loose on. I'll probably get caught and you'll have to help me. Trying, walking the fence line all the time. What a waste of time. And they weren't as productive, those cows, because they were like crazy cows. Just always running the fence line instead of feeding, lying down in the sun, chewing the cud, producing milk, what they're born and made for. They were just a mess. Well, today, I would like to go on from that message and talk to you not just about the cows, but us. And I would like to present a message on sitting on the fence. And that's why pulpit is gone. And what does the fence line look like? Pretty straight, Tim. Good job. Sitting on the fence, a look at the fence. A look at the fence in our life. What does that fence look like? Where should we be? What side of the fence should we be? Where do we belong? As children of God Almighty, where do we belong? Do we belong by the fence, or do we belong with God Almighty, where He calls us? We must first realize which side of the fence. That's a very important realization. Truly understand what side of the fence are we? Are we the side where God calls us to be, where God is, or the other side, where the world is? There's an important part of fences is a gate. I remember the gates, system of gates. We had several fence gates and openings for the cattle to go through, and you know, we would direct them there and I would lead them into good pastures. And but the gates were very crucial, very important. John 10 verse 1 to 11, and it's not up there, but if you have your Bible you can read that with me. Most assuredly I say to you, Jesus says, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him. For they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life, may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And all of a sudden, we're talking about sheep, but Jesus used that illustration, a farming illustration of his time, where that's what a lot of them would have had and understood. And they're no different than cows, but sheep too. There's sure a lot of reverb going on here. Sorry. And the gate is so important. The door, and Jesus saying, I am the door. I am that gate, and no one. We must enter through the right gate to be able to get to the right pasture. Being led to the right gate leads to the right pasture. Jesus is the good shepherd, and like the good farmer, knows what's best for us. Do you hear the voice of Jesus calling you? And at this point, I'm just asked the question, I'll be careful here, that we've all made that decision, and we've all are hearing the voice of the good shepherd saying, come, come, and I'll lead you through here. And I would like to pray, and you guys to pray with me, but pray that God helps us to hear that voice, the voice of the good shepherd. Is it possible in this world, with all the commotion and all the news and all the things that are going on, that you can miss the voice of the shepherd and just go astray? Never find the gate that leads to life. There are many in this world that go their way without even stopping to listen or consider the way they're going. So I'd like to pray with you and ask the Lord for... Father, we thank you. We thank you that you've provided the way, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That, Lord Jesus, you are the way to everlasting life. And all who call upon you, all who hear your voice, all who obey your command to come follow you will be one day with you forever in eternity. Father, we thank you that even this morning, by the power of your Spirit, even right now, if there's anyone here who has had your voice calling out to them, Father, help them to give ear to you and obey your voice and follow you. Father, have your way here this morning in each of our hearts, Lord, as we continue here to talk about this fence line in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to talk a little bit more about spending our lives on this fence line. Because sitting on a fence would be pretty hurtful, I would imagine. Walking around here can be dangerous, and I got to be careful here. I was sort of worried when we built this thing that somebody would just come running around, some kids, you know. Didn't think of that, but anyways. The problem with the fence line, for us who've accepted Jesus Christ, who found that great door that Jesus has called us to, a great place, is that, yeah, we've taken his hand and he brings us to the other side, whether it's this side or that side, so you guys are all safe. But to problem with the fence line, and I've had a lot of inner searching in my life, what is the fence line in my life causing me trouble with? There's still this fence that separation from God's kingdom and the world that I came from. There's two sides to our life, isn't there? Have you experienced that? Are you still experiencing that? Knowing that that knowledge is there, and those thoughts of your past, and sometimes that the fence line causes some some pretty serious problems. It sometimes causes a sense of false security too. Yeah, I'm safe from what's on the other side because I'm on the right side, you know? So it's false security. So yeah, just like that cow who, those bad cows who are always on the edge of the fence, always, you know, playing the fence line, thinking they were secure and okay, and but they're the closest to the danger. They're closest to being hurt, first of all, from the effects of the fence line, from the temptation on the opposite side. If you're far away from the fence, you can't even see the fence. You can't even see the other side, right? You can't even see. All you see is what's right around you. Too close for comfort. Some of them would graze themselves and be cut, especially when they're tempted to reach across the fence line. John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal and kill and destroy. The fence does not stop the wolf. It does not stop the wolf. You'd figure once you're saved, you're with the Lord, everything is great. But the fence does not stop the wolf. The wolf has a way across that. Jesus said it here in that scripture. You know, that he climbs over, he finds some way. He gets through somehow, and then he goes and grabs. Who's going to be first to be caught? Is it the one that's with the flock, with the shepherd? Or is it the one that's right by the fence? Are we walking the fence line in our Christian walk? The wolf is going to grab you first. We know who the wolf is. They're all those little children. I don't want to scare you, but so you can't sleep tonight. But for all of us, we need to awaken. There is a wolf, and he does cross, and he does kill and steal and destroy. That's his intention. That's what he's made for. Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Oh, I thought I was, you know, safe out there, or there, you know, where close with the body and in the church with the Lord and everything is going great. Oh, you mean to say I got to watch? I have to be careful. Is everyone around me that look like me there for the same purpose? I don't want to throw doubt in Gospel Chapel here or one another. Start looking, oh, wonder who that guy is. He a wolf in sheep's clothing, or that guy, or no. But I must be aware there is such a thing, and we must be wise. And only being close to the Lord gives that wisdom. The Lord knows, doesn't he, who are wolves in sheep's clothing, and we can be protected. But many times I think that because we feel so secure, whether close to the fence or close to the Lord, we must still be aware and awake, not falling asleep, not being lax in our decision to follow the Lord. Solidly following Him, solidly praying and being involved with the Lord. He is our great shepherd. Who are you closest to? The greatest safety is in his arms, isn't he? The shepherd. Think of the shepherd with the little lamb in his arms. Being close to Jesus. That's important for all of us to be safe. That's the only place you can really be safe. The fence won't keep you safe, but the Lord can keep us safe, can he? Another sad fact about the fence I want to present to you this morning is the partaking of both worlds, the danger of staying close to this fence. You know, it's a miserable existence to be in church on a Sunday and partaking of the devil's stuff on a Monday and Tuesday and so on. Feeling that discouragement that, failed again. Have any of you ever felt like that? I know I have. And it all came from crossing the fence, reaching over. The problem with, I'll be careful which side I choose here. Problem with being so close is that you see all the other side. You see the temptations. You see, and they're calling out to you. Closeness to this fence, the world where you came from, the memories cause us, right, to desire sometimes. What's inside of us comes alive and sparks us. And then we start thinking, maybe that was a good side. We want to stay away from this fence. James 4, verse 4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. The same one that we want to be in his arms. The potential is that because of our actions, we alienate ourselves from the one who can save us, who can protect us, who loves us. James 4, verse 7 to 8. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. There's hard words here spoken to us of what we must do if we mean business with the Lord, if we want to be safe in his arms. Am I tempted or deceived? We need to ask ourselves that question. What tempts you and me? What deceives you and me? James 1, verse 14, 16. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Matthew 24, verse 4 says, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name. When the end comes, there's going to be a lot of voices out there. I only see one way. One and only one way where we can be safe. And that's far away from this thinking fence. It's in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ, where you're with the Lord and his people and his entourage so far away that you can't even see your past. You can't even see your sin anymore. And if there's temptation of your past and thoughts come up, there is such, the glory of God just brings you right back in there. The glory of God just draws you. Just that presence of the Lord, his love, his protection, all these things, just keeps you from even wanting to go back to that place and be ensnared and devoured and feeling yuck again. I would like to suggest and say that too many Christians walk the fence line, play with the fence line, and are defeated Christians. We wonder why there's not many great things going on in North America. It's because we're fence walkers. We're sitting on the fence. I love it that Matt spoke about abortion. Haven't we all sat on the fence on that one? Brothers and sisters in Christ. There's so many things we've sat on the fence. Prayers out of our schools. And so many things. It's all because we chose the fence. But there's hope. There's hope, and I hope that there's an alarm being sounded here. First realizing there is such a thing as a fence line. And there is the danger of this fence line. And to come alive and realize there's a better place for us. Isn't there? There's only one solution. Flee the fence line. Flee the fence line. I'm going to try to get around here, so that you guys don't feel you're on the wrong side here. I had trouble with this. We're going to place it like that, and I hate to have the front all mixed up. But anyways, you understand. Flee the fence line. This is the only solution. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 and 19, if you have your Bibles. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection has already passed, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his. Remember, he's the great shepherd. He knows. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Depart from the presence of iniquity, from the opportunity of iniquity, of sin. Depart from those places and run for your life. Run for your life. Flee, it says. Is that us? Are we running away, or are we running towards our destruction? Philippians 3, verse 8 to 16. Yet indeed, I also count. Oh, sorry, I'm jumping myself. Be diligent. Let's be diligent to be approved by God and found ourselves. And we need to make this break from the fence line. There's a call to freedom that I'm hoping to call out here. First of all, a realization of this fence in our lives, those things that are there, but a call to freedom that I would pray that it comes through and that it starts bubbling up and living inside of us. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17 to 18. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. This first verse in Corinthians also comes from Isaiah, but a real call of separation. And I remember the day that I decided to separate myself years back, and I continue separating myself, and that's what we need to do. It's a complete separation from the past, from the things of the past. Yes, family and things like that, friends, things you used to do, you no longer can do. But the cost is so great. But the reward is even greater. And we must make that break. We must come out and be separate. God is a jealous God. He wants us all to himself. He wants to wrap his arms around us and protect us and bring us to that holy place. Well, you're going to say, Ernie, that's great. You know, what are you trying to say? Are you going to make some sort of a colony somewheres? The Brokery colony? And we're all going to just stay together, and we're just going to protect one another and just stay Christian and just talk Christian. And you know, Jesus sent us. He sent us in the world, amongst the wolves, but to save many. And you know, I find that if I would be with the Lord and his people and listening and being fed by him and comforted and given direction by God, that I can hear better when I'm with the Lord. Can you? Than when you're walking the fence line, playing in the world a little bit. It's very difficult by that fence line to hear the instructions of the Lord. I know of some people who've told me that they do both. They do things in the world, they're in the, close to that fence, yet they want to serve the Lord, but you know what the usual thing they say? I can't hear God. I don't know. I can't hear him anymore. That's what happens when you're not right beside him, right with him. This, you know, have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. And the other thing that being with the Lord is helpful is that He empowers you with His body of Christ. He empowers you to, and He tells you and He gives you direction. And He empowers you and He sends you two by two. And He'll go like this here. You're going to need, I'll need your hand here. Come on, let's go get someone. And He sends us, because He sent us on a mission. He sends us over here and, you know, looks for the biggest guy. Oh, he's in much trouble. You're coming on the other side. Let's
come on with us. Buddy.
Come on there. Watch out for the fence. You're going way past that fence. Yeah, way out there. Way to go. Woo! Yes. Have a seat amongst the saints. You're now saved. Sorry for you guys out there. Just an illustration. We didn't try to go through here, did we? The Lord put us through, sent us the right way, gave us direction, gave us power. Don't care who's out there. We weren't afraid. We were on a mission. And that's the world we're sent on. It can't happen. And I know, I have tried to cross this thing, go on my own power, or reach out. Got zapped a couple times. Come on. And they reject you right there. So you reach a little bit further. You get caught up moving more. While as all the time He wanted me here. He wanted me here in His presence, empowering me. And the right time He says, go. Here, and I'll give you partners. And then you get power and you bring them out. Doesn't matter how big they are. Isn't the Lord wonderful? But the key is, we must be in His presence, not by the fence. Not sitting on the fence or playing the fence line. Definitely not on the wrong side. Those who are on the wrong side, we've had a study just in the last prayer meeting there on hot, cold, and lukewarm. And I'll tell you, the lukewarm are right around here. We know what Revelation says about lukewarm. I'll spew you out. Let's not be lukewarm. Let's be on fire for the Lord, sitting in His presence and doing His will, His work. Let's make a break from the fence line, snatching those from the fire, even, it says as Scripture. We've been studying in cell groups here, the fear of the Lord. And for many of us who've gone through this, and I'm praying that those who aren't able to make it to these, that God is also stirring your hearts with this great, high honor, high respect of the Lord. Because that's what's going to keep us with the Lord. We honor and want to respect Him. We don't want to walk no fence line. We want to be with the Lord. We want to honor Him with our lives. And we're ready, at His command, to give our life and go get. Just like He did. Didn't He cross such a fence line at one time? Coming to this earth, dying on a cross, reaching all of us at one time. He showed us the way. He's always in the presence of the Father and His holy angels. The foundation of our faith is the love of God. Isn't the love of God wonderful? We sing about it. We do all kinds of stuff. And we present the gospel. It is a love gospel. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's all love. Come on. You can shout it out. And people realize that and say, hey, I need love. I need forgiveness. Some of them come by themselves, just by the love of God that draws them. And then they come, hey, Moses, hey, Moses. Have you heard of the love of God? And then you present that, and Moses says, you know what? I'm tired of being on that side, sorry. I'm tired, and I've been hurt so much, I need God's love. And that is my testimony, myself. I didn't know what love was. There's so much in the mess. So hurting, so distraught, so beat up. And then the love of God draws. And then Moses. Moses, are you coming? Come on. Illustration, can you come? Some people are hard. Hard to reach. But is it a great illustration? It's true. You may have to say it many times. Get over there. There you go. But isn't it something that the love of God can drew him in? And some of us, the love of God has brought us. The problem is we don't go far enough from the fence, or we go there and then we run back just for a peek. When, you know, the lovely honeymoon phase with Jesus Christ is over with. And all of a sudden we just, I wonder what my friends are still doing out there. And then you go. And you get to the other side. And the love of God draws us. But the fear of God, that high honor, a high respect for the Lord, is what's going to keep us here. It's the power of God. So this is what we've been learning in our cell group. So if you haven't been, there are books still. There's still some books for sale, $10. You can get the whole message that way. But there's a great opportunity for us to be empowered by God with this great high honor and fear of the Lord. To keep us far away from there and keep us in the power of God, in the place where God has us. Holy living is made perfect, not in the love of the Lord, but in the fear of the Lord. It's one of the statements that were said in our cell groups. Proverbs 16, verse 6, by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. We can depart from evil, from this place. Lastly, how can I? How can I? Let's make this practical here. I'm going to go back to this side here because these guys need reassurance here. John 8, verse 34 and 36. Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Only Jesus can truly free us. Right? Amen? What Jesus can do, no man, no woman on earth can do. No preacher, no program, no church can do what Jesus can do individually on any of you or any of our families, right? Jesus is all-powerful and is able to set us completely free. Know him and his power. Philippians 3, verse 8 to 16. Those have your Bibles. Yet indeed, I also counted all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained, Paul says, or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, Gospel Chapel, everyone that is sitting here, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this to us. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. God has called us and is calling us, but I want to bring back the fence. And I would like it at Gospel Chapel, all of us and everyone of our families, to realize there is a fence line, but there's a way in the arms of the Lord, and to be free from those things that constantly trip us up, tempt us, and slow us down. I'd love to see all of us heading into that place where we have complete victory on every corner of our lives. Let us be of the same mind, the same desire, the same goal to be powerful witnesses for the Lord. Steadfast, that no wolves is able to come wherever we are and eat us up, that none here would be lost, weakened, hurt in any way or form. Are we all in agreement with this? I'll ask the praise and worship group to come up and close here. Now that Moses is saved. Let us flee from the fence line. If there's an agreement here that I would really love, and of course I cannot force this on you, but pray to the Holy Spirit that He would reveal the fence line in our lives and how we've been playing around the fence line, and then have an agreement. Disagreement that we want to move away from the fence line and head into the arms of the Lord. This place of security, this place of power that God has for us. Do we still want to press forward towards the open arms of Christ? Are we fully His? With God's love through Jesus, we can do this. Let us, in the fear of Almighty God, escape the fence line. What's going on? Let's stand and we'll close in prayer. If I'd like to, in closing, that